listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. It's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016, and it's week 13, the final week of the Fantasy Movie League fall season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm joined by Patrick Reardon, the box office guy. And Patrick, why do they play the games again?
I ask myself that every week. Trying to win, you know, this is the one week it's going to come down to everything. 4 new releases coming out, lots of big holdovers. All the leagues are up in the air there, but I'm glad that this fall season's almost over and we're into award season. I need a fresh slate.
Well, it's going to be a complicated week this week, but let's take a brief look at week 12 here. Moonlight looked like on Thursday with a huge theater count published up to 650 that it was going to be just a slam dunk best performer, but then it had a huge per theater average drop and just barely hung on to it, with the perfect cinema being one screen of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them with 7 screens of Moonlight. Were you surprised by the drama that was behind that?
A little bit. I mean, that was my bonus pick 3 weeks in a row, but just totally contingent on that theater count, which I didn't have yet. And when it came out, I thought it was going to be, oh, that's really going to be close there. It's just got to, like, you know, maintain. So a little surprised, but not entirely.
Well, 668 people had that perfect cinema, including me. I went to that based on that Moonlight theater count expansion. Most popular was the top item in my model, which didn't take into account Moonlight, which was 7 screens of Arrival with a screen of Hacksaw Ridge. 786 people played that. But it was a pretty small delta between most popular and perfect cinema, only around 12 million. So there wasn't a whole lot of movement in the standings because most everybody played one of those two. But this week we got a lot at stake here, and I think that this might be the best job ever that the pricing gods have done. Let's look at the standings here. So there's, you know, we talked earlier in the fall season that the average delta between most popular and perfect cinema is around 25 million or so. If you look at historically over the 80 some odd weeks that we've had a Fantasy Movie League, so if you use that as like a barometer, so in first place we still have Tommy Wiseau. He's at 1.1 billion, so he's at 1,107,000,000. Bams is in second place with 1,105,000,000 and change. The DZ Plex, who led a couple of weeks ago, 1,104. The Garbera Redemption, 1,100. B.S. White 1970 at 1,096. The Zamunden Cat with roughly that same score. So really, if you keep going down, anybody in about the top 15 is within around that 20 million or so of that top spot.
And like, I'm looking at that page right now, like, especially the people at the top, they're clustered so closely together on a weekend like this when we've got, you know, like another giant movie entering the fray with like all these holdovers. Like, I don't think everybody's going to have the same lineup. I think some people are going to try and be bold to like try to make up some ground. And some people will try and sit on a lead just hoping they can sweat it out. So it's definitely going to be interesting.
Now, before we talk about this next week, how did our last bracket end up? So it was
last weekend we did a boxing bracket, and as expected, I thought, like, I wasn't sure if the original Rocky was going to make it all the way through, because it seems like everybody has a different favorite Rocky movie, but the original Rocky from 1976 made it to the finals against Raging Bull and beat it there. Both great movies, I've got no issues with that, so that's the way that one played out, and there was no bracket this week, just with the holiday, we're just taking a week off, but brackets should be back next week.
Nice. I imagine you're going to have some kind of Star Wars themed bracket here coming up here for the release of Rogue One. Am I wrong?
That's going to be a tricky one because you only have 7 movies to choose from. So you can't do, I mean, you need at least 8 to do a proper one. So that's going to be a little tricky, but I'm going to try and think of something that I can tie in with Star Wars. It just seems like such a natural, since that's obviously going to be the biggest movie of our award season.
Well, you could do like Star Wars plus Indiana Jones, or you could maybe sneak
in the franchise one. I've had kind of like, you know, I have it sketched out roughly there. Like, it's kind of a cool one. It could be Star Wars characters. I don't know.
Okay. Or you could also sneak in like some Spielberg sci-fi, since those two guys, Spielberg and Lucas, are pretty tight, right?
We did have a lot of success with our Spielberg bracket last time, so there could be something in there. But yes, I'm definitely going to try and tie in something. Like, characters, there's so many of them, you could easily do a 64. It may be that, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, yeah, I like the character idea. Okay, cool. Well, you know, this past weekend, when Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, when that debuted, our friends at Loot Crate, their November crate was all tied to that film. Now, without naming names, because, you know, licensing being what it is, the December promo is based on the idea of revolution.
I wonder what that could be.
I know. I have no idea. So, like all the crates work, right, you have until the 19th, this time December 19th, until 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe, and you get that month's crate. If you go to www.lootcrate.com/FML, you enter the code FML, you get 10% off of any new subscription. There's the regular box, there's the Loot Crate DX, there's all kinds of different choices. But the theme, like I said, for December is revolution. So fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more, including an exclusive pop figure. And, of course, you get the monthly T-shirt and pin to go with that. So, like I said, if you go to www.lootcrate.com/FML before the 19th, we'll be talking about this for a couple more weeks, before 9 p.m., you can get a hold of this revolution-based Loot Crate this month.
Yes, heavy emphasis on the words revolution and rebellion. I think everybody can read between the lines there.
I think they can. Okay, so new week. We got four new films. We've got a new expanding film. We've got a whole bunch of returners from next week. By my count, you could argue, based on data we have right now, we're recording this Tuesday late afternoon. There's like five different lineups that you could justify playing right now. Which new movie you want to talk about first?
Let's start with, you know, the big one.
Okay, so Moana. So here's the stats on Moana, right? So this one's, we've been talking about this movie because of my man crush on Lin-Manuel Miranda for probably 6 months. I remember mentioning this on the podcast for the first time. It's going to be in 3,875 theaters. The long-range forecast on this went up. It was $65 million for quite a long time. It went up to $70 million just this last Saturday. If, as we talk, I check the Rotten Tomatoes scores, which has been outstanding, it's still at 99%. Obviously, The Rock is a big draw. This is and that's with 74 reviews, 73 of them are fresh.
Which is a decent sample size. Like, that may go down a little bit, as these usually do, but it's going to be in the mid to high 90s for sure, even once, like, you know, the major critics start reviewing it all over the place.
Now, the pricing makes this a difficult sell, right, compared to what we have other things on the slate. It's well over 800 in pricing. Now, let me ask you something. Before I sent it to you in the pre-production notes for this week, had you heard of the Hamilton dust-up with the president-elect and the vice-president-elect over the weekend?
Oh, it's been covered extensively. So I've been following that a little bit, and it's been a nice smokescreen from some of the other things going on with our president-elect. And I have a hard time thinking that this is going to really play a role here, because I think for every person who was just extreme enough to boycott this movie because of that, there's probably somebody on the opposite side of the political spectrum who's just as likely to go out and support this movie. I just have a really tough time seeing, like, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, like, little kids want to go to the movie theaters, and then mommy and daddy tell them they can't go see this movie because a man named Mike Pence got booed at a play that the guy who did the songs for Moana is not even acting in anymore. So I don't think it's going to have much of an effect.
All right. So I just, you know, because... Oh, you're going to call me a liar when I tell you this story. So I had an HBO Now film fest on Friday. My wife and daughter went to a play that I'd seen multiple times. So I stayed home and I watched Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. which I know was very a year ago of me. And I watched Deadpool, which that's the part you're going to call me a liar.
That's a hell of a double feature for starters.
I know. So I get done watching Deadpool and I check Twitter and, you know, because I'm hooked into Broadway stuff, I became aware of the events on Friday, and then, you know, Trump put some fans on that fire on Saturday, and by then, you know, hashtag boycott Hamilton was the biggest trending topic on Twitter, and it seems to have died down even a couple of days later. And yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I at least wanted to address it because it's something you have to consider that maybe there's some ramifications, but Disney's been pretty adept at deflecting those things in the past. I think the bigger issues are that this movie seems like it's a very different kind of story. And the two things you have to compare it with, right? Disney movies, there's no stranger to having those come out on Thanksgiving weekend, but we have two pretty different results of this. So The Good Dinosaur last year in this same weekend, some people would call that Pixar's first flop. Pro Box Office predicted that would be $54 million over the final 3 days of the holiday weekend, but it took in only $39.
Which, true, like, I got that. I mean, that is obviously, I think it's Pixar's worst movie. The Good Dinosaur, like, changed release dates. They stuck it on Thanksgiving thinking, like, the Pixar name was going to carry it through. Bottom line, it just wasn't that good of a movie. But if you look at a lot of the other movies that Walt Disney Animation Studios and not Pixar have done, they've had a lot of success in this window. We'll talk about Frozen in a second, but they've also had Tangled and then Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero 6, which came out earlier in November but still enjoyed good Thanksgiving weekends. So I think this movie's in pretty good shape.
Well, let me pause there for 1 second before we continue. So I would think that anybody listening would probably know this by now, but the rules for this week, treat it like it's a regular weekend. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday only. You don't get credit for Monday or for Wednesday or for Thursday. But because all of the new releases are all releasing on Wednesday, there's no Thursday previews, and none of that Thursday or the Wednesday take will count towards Friday. So it's literally just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The deadline for submitting your lineup is still Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific. So nothing as far as that goes changed. So unpause. So now let's talk about Frozen. So that's 2013. And if you have any relationship with any little girl in your life, you know how this movie went. What people forget is that it had its initial release was one theater. Right, there was one public theater, and I would imagine that was the El Capitan. If we were to look that up.
Almost positive it was. That's almost the par for the course with Disney movies, like their 1 week engagement at the El Capitan before it goes wide on Thanksgiving week.
And then ProBoxOffice.com forecasted that at $47 million, and it went for $67 million.
Yes, it did, and the little girls are still singing it to this day.
So it had this long, long tail, and I mean, now we know about how beloved this movie is, but going into it, you never know whether it's going to reach that status or not. So
because that was also at a point where, like, Disney, like, you know, the non-Pixar arm of the studio was still kind of finding its way, and so people didn't have huge expectations for it, but it exceeded them in a big way and just played forever well into 2014.
So do you think this is closer to Frozen, or is it closer to Dinosaur, or is it somewhere in between?
I think it's a little bit closer to Frozen. I like that 70 to 75 range. I could totally see that happening here.
Well, if it goes for that, then it starts to... If it goes up in the 75 range, it becomes a candidate for best performer. The nice thing about this is because we have numbers from The Good Dinosaur and Frozen to work with for both Wednesday and Thursday, by the time you have to make your decision on Friday morning, you're probably going to know how Moana did on those other 2 days, and that'll be an indicator for how it's going to do, I think, the rest of the 3 days. So be sure. So I'm going to put links in my article to the daily takes on Box Office Mojo for those two films. Bookmark those for Saturday morning, or for Friday morning, I should say, and take a look at those. It'll tell you a lot about where I think Moana is going to go. Now, the hard part is, what do you put with it?
I was trying to, like, build a lineup around Moana, like, because there's just not a ton of stuff on the lower end there. I mean, we'll talk about Loving in a little bit, but I think that the per screen average of that's been going down a little bit, and, like, it's just really tough. You basically, it's Moana, and you're hoping for the best that you can fish out a bonus somewhere.
Yeah, so what I have right now, and we'll talk about Loving in a second, and I put this on the chatter. I'm not a big Loving fan for that per screen average issue.
Neither am I.
But what I like right now, what my coma lineup is a Moana, Almost Christmas, and then Six Times the Accountant. Now, I don't know what the screen count's going to be, or I should say the theater count on the Accountant is going to be quite yet. Because we've got these four new movies. There's going to be a ton of theaters dropping things that have been in the market for a while. I might change my mind on the tail end of that. But because The Accountant has had such a long tail to it, I kind of like that pairing.
I think The Accountant is good for low end, because if you look at all the movies coming out this week, none of them are from Warner Brothers, who's the distributor of The Accountant. So there's always a little bit of deals there where they have to have like a minimum number of some. I don't know if it's a minimum number, but if there's no new Warner Brothers movies coming out, then that means The Accountant might be able to hold on to a few screens than if it were from a different distributor. So that might play a little bit of a factor. And I think as far as low-end filler goes, The Accountant's as good of a guess as anything.
So let's talk about Loving next. So you could play one screen of Moana and seven screens of Loving. Talk me out of Loving, though.
I think you just got to look at the gradual expansion. It's like doing a good rollout, like nice little rollout. It got some Independent Spirit Awards today. Word of mouth is great, but if you look at from the per screen average from week to week, it's declining exactly the way you would expect it. It went 39,000 its first week, down to 11,000, and then down to 6,000. It's still going to be going to roll out. Hopefully, it gets some nominations and can build upon that later, but. When you go from 39,000 to 11 to 6, that's really the wrong direction there. So I don't love it for the bonus this week.
Yeah, I think the pricing for it makes it just – it's got to get to like 1.9 to be significant, even as a companion to Moana. And the problem with that is, as you said, so as a comparison – and I know Moonlight is a rated R movie versus Loving being PG-13 – but Moonlight, I think it's fair to say, had a lot more buzz going into its wider expansion, and it dropped from about 7,200 to well below 2,500. Loving is starting at 6,400. It would have to get to like 3,167 by my math if it had a theater count of 600 to get to that 1.9. I just think that's too aggressive.
I think that's going to be tough to pull off, especially with so much new competition this weekend that are going to be definitely pulling some eyeballs away from it. So, yeah, I'm happy to talk you out of Loving.
Okay. Well, what we're left with then is three movies that I have no idea what to do with, and that I'm going to be looking at those Wednesday and Thursday numbers quite a bit to see what does this mean. Let's talk about Bad Santa 2 first. So, this, I hope, I haven't looked at the future slate in a while. I hope this is the last in the unasked for sequels of 2016.
See, normally I would, I'm just about finished with my article. I would be all in on this movie if it were 2006, but this is a 13-year gap between movies, which there is a track record of comedies that take 10 years or more between movies, and the results are not good. I'm just going down the list here. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, 14 years between the movies. If you adjust it for inflation, it's down 83% from the original. Zoolander 2, also earlier this year, 15 years between movies, down 58%. Bridget Jones' Baby, 12 years between movies, down 57%. And if you go the 2 years before that, Dumb and Dumber 2, which took 20 years between movies, down 65%. And even if you want to throw in Be Cool, the sequel to Get Shorty, 10-year gap between the movies, down 47% from the original. So I would say this trend does not bode well for Bad Santa 2.
So you are not going to be advising people to play seven screens of Bad Santa 2 and a screen of Arrival, is what I hear you saying.
The floor scares me on this one. I just have a really hard time going all in on it. I like the original movie. I remember seeing it in the theater Thanksgiving weekend. I think it's an excellent little anti-holiday movie. So I am kind of the target audience for this. I just don't care about seeing it. I have no desire to rush out to see it in a theater. I'll catch it at home eventually. But I'm not excited about it because it's been 13 years.
Well, let's say you're somebody that's sitting in 10th or 11th place, though, right? And you want to try to jump up to catch Tommy Wiseau in first place. Is this a risky take, or do you play the best thing you can and hope that somebody else tries to overthink it in front of you?
I think it's very likely the people ahead of you are going to be playing it somewhat safe, and they're not going to go away from the things that are closer to a sure thing. I don't know if that's building a lineup around Moana or the Fantastic Beasts is also going to put up a big number, as is Doctor Strange. That floor for Bad Santa, it's bold, but proceed with caution. But if you want to do something bold to try and make up, it's not a bad little Hail Mary. Well, but I wouldn't recommend it.
So if you think this is a chance, the two comps that I'm going to write about in my article are going to seem a little odd, but it's because of time of year and it's because of the box office take on the last 3 days of this weekend. So the first is the Red Dawn reboot, which that one I'm a little skittish about because of the release issues that one had. But that came out in 2012 in the same weekend, and over Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it did $14.2 million. So the long-range forecast for Bad Santa 2 was it ended at 13.5, so it's right in that same ballpark. Horrible Bosses 2, also same weekend, obviously different year. It did about 15.5. I'm going to provide links to the dailies for those two. If Bad Santa 2 is anywhere near those guys, I suspect it will not be for the same reasons that you just mentioned. That would be the indicator of whether or not you should go all in on this and do the 7 times.
Fortunately, like we mentioned earlier, you can see the Wednesday and Thursday numbers to give you some kind of idea, like, is it worth playing here? I'm going to watch it. I do not have big expectations for it. And like you just mentioned with Horrible Bosses, that I think it was like 2.5 or 3 years between movies there, which is what when a comedy sequel should come out, not like this 13-year gap. So Bad Santa's really going to have to do some convincing on Wednesday and Thursday for me.
So I have two questions for you, one each for our last two new movies.
Fire away.
Is Brad Pitt still a movie star?
Brad Pitt is still a movie star, but the term movie star does not mean what it once did.
Oh, man, I think my brain just exploded. Please elaborate.
Brad Pitt has, like, the recognition. There's enough star power to get films made and to get them a wide release and into theaters, but once it's out there, there's no guarantee that people are going to show up automatically because Brad Pitt is in the movie.
All right. See, that's – I see. So you're mincing words there, right? Because it, you know, it used to be –
I think being a movie star these days, it used to be if Tom Cruise is a movie star and he comes in Cocktail or, like, some other, like, you know, bad movie with, like, you know, marginal material, will people come to see it? Yes, they will. I think those days are over. And, like, it used to be Will Smith would come out with a movie, regardless of how good or bad it was. People would go because Will Smith was in it. I think being a movie star nowadays means just being able to get the movie actually made. Once it's in theaters, like the way social media is, like a bad Friday night can kill you. So I think movie stars are less important than they've ever been in terms of actual performance.
See, because, I mean, as a middle-aged man here, I'm feeling like I woke up and all of a sudden the guy from Parks and Rec is a huge star and Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise are also Rans.
To some extent it is. But you got to look at – this is also like, you know, a 1940s set espionage movie. It takes a star to get something like that off the ground, especially – they make movies like this occasionally, but they rarely have a director like Robert Zemeckis. They rarely have a star like Brad Pitt attached, and they rarely have an $85 million budget, which this movie is rumored to be. Ooh. Which is very expensive for this type of movie. So Brad Pitt's name got this made, but – the movie has to be good. People aren't just going to show up because it's Brad Pitt. So I think he gives the movie a fighting chance with his presence. But, you know, and the box office dog is going crazy. One sec.
No, I think he agrees, right? I mean, here's the weird thing, right? The long range forecast for this one is $13 million. And for Bad Santa 2, it's $13.5 million. Like that universe where they think that Billy Bob Thornton will bring in more money with a sequel that's 10 years too late seems just really, really weird to me. So I think we're both saying that you probably want to stay away from Allied.
This is another type of movie where it's going to really need good reviews to be relevant. And as a little while ago, it was like doing about a 60. That's not going to be good enough with so many options out there. I just don't think the old school Hollywood espionage thriller is going to be doing a lot of business this weekend.
Okay, so then speaking of guys that used to be big movie stars, you weren't 100% sure that Warren Beatty was still alive before this week, right?
I knew Warren Beatty was alive. I know some people who are kind of peripherally involved in his life, and I think what would be a fascinating movie, or just maybe a book, is to like just look at a list of the things that Warren Beatty turns down over the years.
Right.
He still gets offered a ton of stuff, but he doesn't do any of them. He will talk himself out of anything. I think a prominent one is Quentin Tarantino wanted him to play Bill in Kill Bill, and he more or less talked himself out of the role. So I don't know why he's been off screen for 15 years. I don't know what it is about rules don't apply that made him interested in coming back to the screen, but I do not have high hopes for this movie either.
All right. Yeah, this one you could use as a filler. So by some of my math, you could
play... He's horribly priced, but I still... This is another one with a low floor. I just don't... I have a hard time seeing people, like, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, like, you know, people are talking about going to the movie. Let's go see that Howard Hughes movie with Warren Beatty. I just don't see that conversation happening.
Yeah, unless grandma's picking the movies, right? You're probably not going to come up with that one.
Even if you let grandma pick it, she probably wants to go see Brad Pitt.
Well, I guess it depends on the age of the grandma. I think in my mom's case, she's picking Warren Beatty, I'm pretty sure.
But still. Well... That would have to be a lot of grandmas, like, you know, deciding the movies.
So in that lineup that I have as my coma lineup right now is Moana, Almost Christmas, and Six Screens of Accountant. You could sub Warren Beatty in there for Almost Christmas, and that still fits. And if you do like the Brad Pitt, a really bold play there is you could play it on five screens and then play three screens of Age of 17. But what are you thinking about some of the returners here? So Doctor Strange fits on five screens with some fillers.
I don't hate Doctor Strange, actually. Like, that's, I think Trolls is going to take too big of a hit from Moana. And I think Fantastic Beasts, I just don't quite like the pricing enough. I think it'll hold up okay. So I think Doctor Strange is a decent little pick. And what was the other one you just mentioned?
The other holdover, I didn't mention it, but we could talk about Fantastic Beasts.
Edge of 17, I'm sorry.
Edge of 17.
I kind of like Edge of 17. That and Bleed for This are not losing any screens. I mean, I don't know what the show times are going to be. But when choosing between those two, I like the one that's much better reviewed, which Edge of 17 is significantly. So I think in a very competitive bonus situation, that one might be able to find its way into the mix. So I don't hate Edge of 17.
Now, do you remember, and I didn't put this in the notes just to test you, do you remember last season for this Thanksgiving weekend, do you remember what was the best performer?
On Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah.
The best... Oh, my God, no.
It was not
no,
The Good Dinosaur. It was not Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. It was not Creed. It was not Peanuts movie. But it came out the same week as the Peanuts movie.
Was it Spectre?
It was.
Okay. I was going to say, that was the only thing I can remember opening up against Peanuts. And, yeah, Spectre, like, again, like, slightly under that opening weekend, but by the time Thanksgiving rolled around, a lot of people caught up to it, and it was the best performer. I do remember this now.
So, yeah, so you can make an argument for either one that of
could,
these.
Doctor Strange could be, this year's version of Spectre.
It could. And, again, so, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday, far before we're going to get any kind of pro forecast. Be sure that when those come out, be sure to read the fine print and figure out what numbers are going for 5-day and what numbers are going for 3-day. You want the 3-day. And take a look at what those Wednesday and Thursday takes are before you make your final selection on Friday. Take a look at the chatter. Some people will be talking about it as well.
I mean, that's both the best and the worst part about Thanksgiving weekend is you get to see Wednesday and Thursday numbers to decide. But the bad thing is everybody else has access to that information as well. But definitely use it. It's one of the few weeks where you can do that.
It is. So I'm sticking with Moana for now, but I could probably be talked into Doctor Strange depending upon how that goes. I'm still pretty anti-loving as a filler for Moana, but depending upon what happens with that theater count for the accountant, I might be switching my low end.
For me, I'm between like a Moana anchor or Doctor Strange, and unless something just really knocks me out with their Wednesday and Thursday numbers, like a Bad Santa, or I just don't see Allied like coming out of the gate that strong. So Wednesday and Thursday will decide, but it's probably going to come down to a Moana or Doctor Strange lineup for me.
Now, the other good news is that after this crazy weekend, the even crazier award season starts.
Which, if you remember award season last year, it gets a little nutty.
It gets a little nutty because there's 2 3-day weekends in there. There's the Super Bowl. There's all kinds of pop culture things that draw people's attention.
It's probably going to have daily pricing for Star Wars. Yes, and yes,
for probably at maybe multiple weeks, like we did last, December. So yeah, and yeah, the back to back holiday weekends, it gets very, very strange during the award season, which week one will start next week. But that's going to do it for week 13 of the Fantasy Movie League fall season and of the fall season itself. Patrick, where can we find you on Twitter over the weekend?
You can always find me on Twitter at the Box Office Guy, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
I'm always at Nerd Guru. You can find official news from the league itself at FML_movies. You can, of course, find the league on Facebook and on iTunes by doing a simple search for Fantasy Movie League. And you can still get that Fantasy Movie League gear in time for Christmas, fantasymovieleagueshop.com. Good luck, everybody. Until next week.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com.